Reuben, come up here and show me what she was going to show me. Amen. You know, I read a beautiful verse of Scripture, and I've got to go get my concordance and look it up because I failed to mark it and make a note of it. But I was reading along and day before yesterday, and the word said, the Lord said, He said, I have placed my word above my name. The Lord said that. You know, we hold the name of the Lord quite high. We sing about Jesus. We sing about Yahweh. We sing about, you know, El Shaddai and Jehovah. And you know, we exalt the name of the Lord. And we're going to keep doing that. But the Bible says that the Lord placed His word above His name. Now, you might wonder, how's that work? You mean the Bible's above His name? Well, it's not exactly like that. You see, in the book of St. John, the first chapter, the first couple of verses, it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And His name was Jesus, you see. And then a little later on in several places in Paul's writings, Paul said that the Lord gave Jesus a name above all other names. So, and that's the way that the Lord can place His word above His name.
That's right.
Because His word is Jesus. Amen. So just keep singing. Especially sing about Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Calvin. Hallelujah. You know, the title of my sermon today is The Word of God. It really is. The Word of God. And it's St. John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Or we can read it this way. In the beginning was Christ, and Christ was with God, and Christ was God. Yeah. Or we can read it this way. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus is God.
Absolutely.
You know, and then in verse, if you jump down to verse 14, and the Word and Jesus, Christ, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus. That's our God. That's our Creator. You know, and praise the Lord. That's Jesus that came in the flesh to present us. You know, God the Father sent the Word to the earth because He loved us. It's like the Word was it's like in the flesh. He came to show us what to do and how to do it in the flesh. God's Word in the flesh. Hallelujah. Calvin, how did you know that? How did you know I was going to talk about this? You know?
Because we talk to the same God.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And God talks so much about the Word. But I will begin by saying this, though. I believe that as the body of Christ, we as the body are not eating our daily bread. I said, I believe as the body, we are not eating our daily bread. That fresh manna that comes from heaven is Jesus, the Word. And, you know, I'm not talking about just reading your daily Bible reading. That's good. Keep doing that. But I'm talking about actually reading the Word of God, where you seek the Lord's face in His Word, and you actually eat of His bread, eat that fresh manna, and you get so excited and built up. You've been with Jesus. And when people come up to you, they can see that you have been with Jesus because you've been eating of that fresh Word. It's powerful. It's powerful. And I will confess, I have not been eating the daily bread as I should. And therefore, my confession is off. I don't say what God wants me to say. And I'm not doing what God wants me to do when I don't eat my daily bread. It's important that we do this on a daily basis. But just me telling you this is not enough. No, we actually have to, you know, how can I say this? We have to decide to do it. You have to decide to do this. I mean, it's great that you read. If you're like me, you have many books. A lot of times I just open up a book and I read the whole thing. Many books, big books. And they're all, you know, they all talk about the Word of God. But God has been dealing with me lately. Hey, those books are great and they're written by great men and women. But I want you to get into the Word yourself. Because I have a Word for you, Reuben. And I want you to catch it. And I want you to do it. And I want you to share it. That fresh manna. Oh, it's strength to your body. It's strength to your soul. It's strength. And you know what? That one time the Lord told me, just like I multiply the fish and the bread that I give you, I can multiply it. If it was enough, it was enough plenty for you, but if you say it and you speak it forth as I tell you to, it's just going to multiply. And it's going to feed the flock. And it's going to feed whomever I tell you to share it with. Because I'm a God of multiplication. Yeah. I like to multiply. Yeah. I'm not stingy. I like to give. I like to multiply. But I'm going to use you to do it. I'm going to use you. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Calvin. Yeah. That was awesome. Oh, hallelujah. That just fires me up. I put some scriptures down. But, you know, as I studied on this, it's amazing to me how many scriptures you'll find concerning reading the Word. Not just hearing it. I know the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of the Lord. But you know what? If you read it out loud, you're hearing it. Not only are you confessing it, but you're hearing yourself. You know, and it just builds you up. It just edifies you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to try and make this fast. Well, maybe not too fast, because every time I say that, I wind up talking too much. But I don't want to do that today. I just want to give what the Lord gave me. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Where is it? Amen. I need to get me a new Bible. This one's wore out. Oh, is that it? I can't even find Deuteronomy in my Bible. I wonder if it's in here. The book of Deuteronomy. And, you know, as Calvin was talking earlier, I was reminding of a verse of scripture about that God wants to multiply you 1,000 times more than you are. And he was talking about we all had problems, and we've had problems in the past, and we've had challenges that confront us. But, you know, the Israelites, at that point in Deuteronomy chapter, I forget whether it's chapter 1 or 5, and they were up, you know, Moses was 120 years old. And yet he had the strength of a young man. His eyesight was not dim. He can hear very well. And yet he had this over 2 million people up in front of him. And he prophesied, you know what? God wants to multiply you 1,000 times more. Even though they had been through much trouble, trials and tribulations. I mean, he brought them out of Egypt. Out of Egypt, they were in bondage and they were in captivity. They were slaves and he brought them out. Even though they had been through so much things already, he was telling them, you know what? Even though you've been through all this stuff, God still wants to multiply you 1,000 times more than you are. It's like, wow. He's the God of multiplication. I found this scripture today. It especially ministered to me. Because, you know, this, just like the before they got their first king, I believe, and they had instructions for him. And it's like we can call this the duty of the king of Israel. And he had duties, and he had to abide by them. And one of the duties was that he had to read the Word of God daily. Let's read it. Let's start with verse 17. Chapter 17, verse 18. Are you there? Amen. And it says this, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, talking about the king of Israel, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of the which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of the law and these statutes, to do them. You know, the Bible says that Jesus has made us kings and priests. Kings and priests. And if this was one of the requirements for the king of Israel, well, God is saying the same thing to us tonight. Hey, this is your duty. I'm not asking you to do this. This is your, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, this is your reasonable service to me. This is your living sacrifice to me. I'm not asking you to do it. This is your duty as a king. This is your duty as a priest of mine. Hey, I want you to know and learn to fear me, you know, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, and that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren. You know, when you read the Bible and you really get into God's presence, I said get into God's presence when you read the Bible, when you start hearing his voice, the Holy Spirit revealing to you God's word, you know what? You're just going to love the brothers. You're just going to esteem your brother higher than yourself. You know, you're just going to want to lift him up. You're going to want to build him up, because the word, oh, precious word of God, is so powerful. You just want to give it to him. You know what? This is what God said to me today. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom. Talking about the king of Israel. He and his children, and in the middle of all of Israel, he is blessed because he put God first by reading the word of God. And I must admit, since my kids are older now, they know I have not been doing that. And I repent of it. And I need more of his word in my life. God's word is so powerful. Let's go to Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. This chapter here blessed me so much. I was only going to read one verse of scripture in Psalms 19, but guess what? I decided to read the whole thing. It was just that good. It just blessed me. You know, I was like reading this afternoon. I said, goodness gracious. And I was only going to take one verse of scripture out of this? This is no way. No way. King David wrote this psalm, and it was actually a song. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God, Psalms 19, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You know, God knows all languages, and he uses all the languages to glorify his name. Their line is gone out through all the earth. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom. You know, it's talking about Jesus coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His goings forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heart, from heat thereof. You know, he purifies. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Converting the soul. He converts you. He gets you into right thinking. He wants you to think like he thinks and talk like he talks. He converts us. He converts us. He converts our thinking, our mind. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. He'll give you wisdom if you don't have wisdom. Oh, he'll give you the talk. He'll give you the know-how in that very circumstance, in that very situation when you need him the most. He'll give you that talk. You'll know what to do in that situation. You'll know what to say in that circumstance, because you have been reading and eating of the daily bread. You'll know what to do. you'll know what to say. You know, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Oh, that just fires me up. I was reading this at home, Calvin, and it's like, oh, why don't I read this every day? You know, more to be desired are they than gold, talking about God's word. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. You get warnings from the word of God too. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Hallelujah. There is great reward when we obey God's word. I'll just stop there. Let's go to Deuteronomy again. I'm sorry, I should have read this one. Deuteronomy, I like this one too, chapter 8. I know there's a lot of other verses of scripture we can read, but this one blesses me. And this is in reference to Matthew 4:4, when Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of my Father's mouth. Let's start verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply. There it is again. And multiply. He's in the multiplying business, Calvin. And he wants us to multiply in all good things, you know, and multiply and to go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. You know, they were in the wilderness 40 years to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. Whether thou would have keep his commandment or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know that he might make thee to know the man, that he might make thee know that man doeth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doeth man live. That is the word of God. Jesus is the word made flesh. When you read any book of the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation, it's talking about Jesus. He is the word made flesh. Look at verse 4. Thy raiment waxed not old. That means the clothing they had on. They didn't get old in those 40 years they were in the desert. Nor did your foot swell in these 40 years that you were in the desert. God will see you through. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valley and hills. God is so good. He has supplied all of our needs in his word. All of our needs. Let's go to Acts chapter 32. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 20. Many times as the Lord built me up when I was down, just by reading his word, just build me up, lifted me up of any sadness or depression or whatever it may be, he always sees me through his word, as he does you. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. This is Paul speaking. I was going to read the other scriptures, but I'll just read this one. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He wants to give you an inheritance through his word. And, you know, it's amazing to me that we as the body of Christ just don't eat as we should. And why is that? I don't know. I guess it's because our flesh is weak. I guess it's because there's so many distractions in life. We have to go work. And, you know, I haven't taken the time to read the word in the morning like I used to. And, you know, it's just not eating of the daily bread, and we miss out on the blessing, the supply, the inheritance that he has for us. You know, the Bible calls us in Romans, the book of Romans, I forget what chapter, vessels of mercy. And he said, hey, I'll have mercy on whom I want to have mercy. And hey, I'll have compassion on whom I want to have compassion. Guess what? That's you. That's me. We're the vessels of mercy. And we are to share that mercy with others. You know, not everybody's going to come to Jesus. Only the ones that the Father gives us can come to Jesus. But it's up to us to know when to do and when to say, speak forth that word. We just read in the Bible that the heavens and all of the heavens and the night and the day, they speak forth. They all speak the glory of God. The glory of God is all around you, is all around me. All we have to do is open our eyes. You know, we're so blessed. We're so blessed. It's just, it's overwhelming. And I repent before my Father God and you for not eating my daily bread. Because you need me, and I need you. And if we don't eat, we just don't have the strength to build each other up. We just don't have the strength when the Holy Ghost comes, hey, I need you to pray for brother so-and-so. We just don't have the strength when the Holy Ghost says, hey, get up, I need you to pray. I don't have the strength if I haven't eaten. Just like the physical body, if we don't eat, guess what? We just don't have the strength to do anything. We need the Word of God so that we can have the strength to do and to say what God wants us to do and say. Amen? I hope this is blessing you because it blessed me. I'm telling you, it blessed my socks off. It did. I said, Lord, forgive me. I kept saying, forgive me, Lord. Oh, what happens? The Bible says that all of creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. There's a whole message in that, you know. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. This is a good Colossians, like Pastor Calvin said, is dynamite. All the books of the epistles are just dynamite. We really ought to take the time and read more and eat more of God's word. Did I tell you about the time I didn't have the strength to read to my mom God's word about God's medicine? Oh, but when I obeyed the Lord. Oh, but when I began to read the word, it just built me up so much. And I was yelling and shouting and praising the Lord, and mom was just looking at me and said, yes, mijo, sí, mijo, sí, mijo. Oh, so precious. So precious to read the word of God. Oh, hallelujah. This is Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. I'll leave you your duty to read this on your own, all of Colossians. It's only four chapters. It is your duty to read it as Christians. It says, let the word, verse 16, Colossians 3, 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the to God and the Father by him. Just there. Isn't that wonderful? So why aren't we eating then? Why don't we eat? You know, I know the why in my life. It's so many distractions. But the more you eat, the more you just want to eat. And it's just like true in the natural. You know, I eat a lot, believe it or not, but the more I seem to eat physically, the more I want to eat, and I had to like stop myself. And I learned to eat like my father, my dad. Eat real fast. And I can feed my body okay, but why don't I feed my spirit okay? Because my family needs me, and you need me, and I need you. And God's love is all over His Word. And I was reading the other day about the glory of God, and I asked the Lord, "Well, Lord, you keep mentioning glory in this verse of Scripture, and then I read on, and you keep mentioning your glory, your glory, your glory." And I said, "But what is your glory?" And the Lord answered me, "My glory is the same glory that Jesus asked me to give you." He said, "My glory is what Jesus showed you when He was here on the earth." He said, "My glory was showing you My love." It was, and then it just felt like dominoes. Yeah, Lord. Yes, I can see that. Yeah, because I've been to houses that to me look like mansions, but at the same time, there's no glory in it because there was something missing in that home, and that something was love. Oh, but when the love of God, when that house gets saved through the Word, it just looks glorious. The things that looked or appeared dull and no brightness, and even though they had plenty of shine to it, they were dead. But the glory of God, He told me, it just shows up when I show up with my love. It's just glorious. You know? Glorious. That's what He said to me anyhow just the other day. And I wasn't even going to share this. It just, the Lord brought that to my memory just right now. Yeah, it just changes with love. Everything changes with love. The whole ambient atmosphere just becomes glorious when there's love. Everything just changes. You're able to see the way God sees people in any situation or circumstance. Oh, the love of God is powerful. It's glorious. It's just glory. The Word of God brought this. Jesus was the Word made flesh. He brought this so that we can see it and enjoy it. He said, "The same glory I gave to my son, well, He gave that same glory to you, and it's My love. Walk in it." I love what Bobby said. That the highest the highest level of spirituality you can be in is when you walk in love, and that's the first fruit of the Spirit. And that's love. You know, there's another verse of Scripture that says, you know, your faith won't work unless you have love, you know. Oh, love, 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 love. I know I said this before, but I'll say it again. When I was in Bible school in Cumpas and I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and the Lord said to me, He said, "Reuben," He said, "what kind of preacher do you want to be?" And I thought that was strange and odd. And from my spirit, from my inner being, my the real me, I said, "Lord, I want to be a love preacher." Came from my heart. I just want to love people. And I found I can't love people in the natural, in the flesh, because it's very limited. That's why it's important to eat our daily bread, so that we can have strength from our innermost being, that first fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Love, 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 love. Love. James chapter 1, verse 18. I don't know if I should just quote it, or let's just go there. Let's just go. James chapter 1, verse 18. One of these days, I'm going to be high-tech like Eric, where he's got like a tablet up here, and he just punches things up here, and the Scripture comes up. James chapter 1, verse 18. I believe he said the other day, this is old school. I thought that was funny. Oh, I'm sorry, forget that. Chapter 1 of James, verse 18 says, oh, where does it say? Oh, this is good. "Of His own will begat He us through the word of truth, that we should be the be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You know, Jesus, again, was that word that God sent, that whosoever, and we're all a whosoever, believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall be saved. And, you know, he came for us. He says, hey, you love me because I first loved you. Hey, you didn't even know what love was. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of, yeah, okay. Isn't that wonderful? I got more. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. God sent his word, Jesus, and that word produced faith in our hearts, whereby we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. That word made flesh, the word of God, Jesus, was sent to us. But what did he say to us after we were born again? As the Father has sent me, I send you. In the same manner, the same way he came, you know, in love. Love. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. What does it say? But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I have another homework for you. I want you to read that first chapter at home. It'll bless you, but it also will exhort you, which is good. Okay? Read Colossians, all the book of Colossians, and read this first chapter, at least the first Peter. Amen? Oh, I was going to say something else. The word of the Lord stands forever. The word of the Lord stands forever. Let's go to Ephesians. This is not in my notes, but the Holy Spirit reminded me of this. Ephesians chapter 5, where it says that we stand. And there's only one way you can stand is if you eat of your daily bread. Amen? Otherwise, you can't stand. Is it chapter 6? Yeah, chapter 6 of Ephesians says this. It says, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against wiles of the devil. That you might be able to stand. But how can you stand if you don't eat? Yeah. You know, Jesus, there's a verse of scripture, I don't remember where it is, I just read it the other day, that Jesus himself put on that breastplate of righteousness. Isaiah said that, I believe. What else did he put on? I forget. I don't remember the scripture. But the only thing I remember is that he put on. And if Jesus put on that breastplate of righteousness, then we have to do it too. We had to put it all on. And the first thing you had to put on is the word of God. You had to eat of that word of God. Let's read on. Let's see what it says here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, we don't wrestle against people, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. You know, just like Calvin was talking about earlier, we all go through trouble and problems. And sometimes, you know, they just come suddenly. But if we're not able to stand, praise the Lord that his mercy endures forever. You know, that's where we come in. Say maybe I didn't eat this morning, and I'm kind of gripey, spiritually speaking, and something happens, and I may need you to help me stand up. I may need you to eat of your daily bread to help me. And then vice versa. You know, problems come, and they will come. But praise the Lord that we are able to withstand, and we can stand on God's word. God's word, listen to this, is trustworthy. What I mean by that is that you can trust the word. You can trust the word. If he said it, it's going to happen. If he promised it, it's going to be fulfilled in your life. Just keep on standing. The word is trustworthy. It's trustworthy. It's sure. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Oh, it says, having done all. But what's our part? What's our duty as kings and priests? Our duty is to read the Word of God, eat of the Word of God daily. That's our duty. That is our reasonable service. That is our spiritual sacrifice as living vessels. We are alive because Jesus lives on the inside. We are alive. We're alive. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's the word of God. Your daily bread, I believe. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. That's it. I remember now. Jesus put on the helmet of salvation. That's awesome, huh? Isn't that awesome? He's ready for battle. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, it just keeps getting better. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. That's our duty. Like I've said before, the more word you read and eat every day, prayer just, in my opinion, just is automatic. It just is. You read the word and automatically you'll find yourself praying for somebody, you know. And then Paul said, I like what Paul said, and I do this for Calvin and Barbara. And Paul, he said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, of which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. Like Pastor Calvin and Barbara said, they went to Cumpas, and then they found themselves ministering and having to speak with that utterance that God gives them, that wisdom to minister to the people they minister to. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Acts chapter 18. I better hurry up. I got 10 minutes. Sorry. Acts chapter 18. I like this one. Jesus said this to Paul in Acts chapter 18, verse 9. Acts chapter 18, verse 9 says, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Well, he was going through some trouble and some problems, you know, in the ministry, and then some, you know. and then in a vision that he had in the nighttime, the Lord said to him, imagine, he had a vision of Jesus. By a vision. It's like Jesus came to him and said, hey, Paul, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Oh, isn't that awful? That's powerful. I believe God says that to us, that we are to speak boldly what the Lord says to speak. Got some more here. Let me find it. Pastor Calvin was, I found something on the Word the other day. And Calvin was teaching, I believe, this past Sunday about men have to work. And I was studying, and I came across this scripture, Calvin. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. You don't have to go there. But whatsoever, this goes along with your sermon on Sunday. I just jotted down here on my notes. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And that said, you know, to me, that was like, hey, whatever the Lord has you doing, just do it with all a whole heart, as unto Jesus. It could be your job, it could be your schoolwork, school, it could be preaching the gospel at the Walmart, or anywhere you go. Give that word of truth. Give it. Do it with all your might. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, like with zeal, like you mean it. You know what I mean? Con ganas, with zeal. Do it as unto Jesus. Amen. One last scripture. I especially like this one. I'm going to finish with this one. Well, let's go there. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. This is my last scripture. Can you believe it? Last scripture. Jeremiah chapter 20. Look what Jeremiah says that he found. Verse 9. You can go ahead and read it if you found it. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Isn't that awesome? This is my prayer and my desire for us. Really, it is. Where is it? Verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Oh, that's just read the second part. I'm sorry. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. As a burning fire. And Father, that's my prayer, not only for you, but for me, that we get so into the word that it's just in my heart as a burning fire shot up in my bones. Some of you have felt that. I have. It's just fire on the inside, and you can feel it like in your bones, like, ugh. That's my prayer for you. That's really my prayer for us, for me too. Amen? Yes, amen. And that's all I have.
Good word. The word of God is so alive and awesome in our lives. And Lord, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that your word will take hold in our heart, and that your word will become like a fire shut up in our bones, that we cannot keep quiet, but that we speak forth your word with boldness, that your word rise up in our heart, that we put your word in our memory banks, and that word will come alive at the right place at the right time, that as we're speaking to people about the Lord, that word will just begin to come up, and it'll come up, and it'll come up, and it'll come up, and that word will be living word in us and flow out to all we meet. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your word, that your word is alive. It's alive. It's the living word. It's alive. It's you speaking to us, and it's you, Lord. Let that word rise up within us and flow out of us, and we just thank you, Lord. We just bless you, Jesus. We bless you. We thank you, Lord, for zeal and excitement and passion in the things of God. And we just thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray for your blessing to be upon every person here tonight. I thank you, Lord, that your power and your anointing will fall upon each one, and that we will go out empowered with the presence of the Lord as we go from this place, that we go, oh, just with a burning fire of God within us. And we just thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Does anybody need a prayer specifically tonight for someone? Anyone want prayer? We'd love to pray for you if you need prayer for anything tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, just thank you, Jesus, Lord. I bless this people in your name. With peace, with anointing, with the joy of the Lord, and above all, Father, that the love of God flow out of us like a river to everyone we meet. And we thank you for your love, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Reuben. That was a good word.